Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service to the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on excitotoxins when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans, who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs, have now been reduced to dependence, incompetence, incapacity. We have now been made wards of these powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, the cartels and bureaucratic institutions of our modern industrial society. And we have been taught to rely upon these paid professionals, professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs, professionals like doctors to manage and treat our health problems, and professionals like lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans who were once able to catch our own fish learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by these paid professionals. Regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, our rights, our liberties, and our duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, write for my free general law CD package. It's an educational, informative, and entertaining program. Best of all, it's free, and all you have to do is call and order one. The number to call is 417-273-4967 to order yours. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and send us an email. That website is georgegordon.org. You just click onto the email machine, send us an email request. Remember, again, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we are reviewing a book. The book is called Excitotoxins. It's written by a neurosurgeon, a medical doctor, Russell Blaylock. He's 10 years old. He wrote it back in 1997. And it's an outgrowth of his research on this subject matter of excitotoxins. Excitotoxins are things like MSG. It's a food additive. Harmless, you know, to the average guy, you'd say, well, okay, so it's a food additive. It's like putting salt and pepper, you know, in the soup. And this food additive was discovered by a Japanese scientist back in 1909, and it came from seaweed. The Japanese go out in the ocean, and they get the seaweed, and they bring it in, chop it up, and they used it in their food and their cooking. Well, this Japanese scientist wanted to know, well, what's the chemical that's in this seaweed that makes this food taste so good? If we could synthesize this, we could commercialize it and make a lot of money. And that's what's been going on, and that's the reason why we put it in our food. It tastes real good. You're going to like it. And your gravy or your soup, if it doesn't have MSG, is going to taste bland, and you're not going to like it. But the use of MSG, like any of the other excitotoxins, such as aspartame, NutraSweet, and so on, is a choice that you have to make. And there's some downsides that go with the product, like Parkinson's disease, ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease, and Alzheimer's disease are the downside to MSG. Now, the good news is, let's suppose that you're an average Joe six-pack American, and you have been just eating the average all-American diet, and you now weigh 300 pounds as a result of it. You've probably taken in your fair share of MSG. There's an interesting corollary here in the book. Not everybody that ingests MSG is going to come down with Parkinson's disease, or ALS, or Alzheimer's. But a lot of you are. A bunch of you are. And the good news is you can stop the ingestion of the poison and you can reverse out much, not all, but much of the deleterious effects of it. That's the good news. The first thing you do when you start these Alzheimer's symptoms is stop poisoning yourself any further. And let's see if we can arrest it right where it's at or close to it. Now, my common sense says the better solution is stop the MSG now when you're 25 or 30 so that when you're 50 or 60, you're not faced with the already serious problem of half your brain has been rotted out. Now, one good thing about your brain is that even though it's been impaired, there's other portions of your brain that can take over the functions of the brain that have been impaired. And that's a neat built-in advantage. But I can't see any reason for rotting out half your brain so that you can train the other half to take over the functions that have been destroyed. My common sense says I want to save all the brain cells I can And so I think what I'll do is I'll stop eating the MSG now. Then when I get to be old, there may be some other problems that I have that might be alleviated by having more brain cells. I mean, I'm dumb enough as it is. I don't need to lose any more brain cells. Now, unfortunately, the MSG is not only taste enhancing. That is, it's a food additive that tastes real good. And it's not the only taste enhancing food additive that is known to cause damage to your nervous system. In fact, there's a whole class of chemicals that can produce very similar damage, and they all share one very important property. When neurons are exposed to these substances, they become very excited and they fire their impulses very rapidly until they reach a state of extreme exhaustion. Several hours later, these neurons suddenly die, as if the cells were simply excited to death. As a result, neuroscientists have dubbed this class of chemicals as excitotoxins. Several of these excitotoxins are man-made, and they are used as research tools. Others are found in nature, such as glutamate, aspartate, and cysteine, all of which are amino acids. MSG is a modified form of glutamic acid in which sodium is added to the molecule. But the toxic portion is the glutamic acid, not the sodium. Now, often food manufacturers will mix MSG with other substances to disguise the MSG, or they will use substances known to contain high concentrations of glutamate and or aspartate. For example, the label, if you've got a label, designation natural flavoring, it may contain anywhere from 20 to 60% MSG. Now earlier I mentioned a substance called hydrolyzed vegetable protein. Now this is also referred to as vegetable protein or plant protein. So when you're reading a label and it says vegetable protein or plant protein, this powerful excitotoxin mixture is often portrayed as a perfectly safe and natural substance. After all, manufacturers say it's made from plants. Well, okay, cocaine is made from plants. Heroin is made from plants. Just because it's made from a plant doesn't mean that it's safe, effective, or good for you. Poisons come from plants. So when God wrote up the statement in Genesis 1, 29 and 30 that he's given us every green herb as meat, that doesn't mean, does it, that you can take deadly substances and just eat them like bloodroot for dessert now, does it? You see, there are a lot of medicines that come from various plants. For instance, bloodroot is a plant, and from the bloodroot plant comes the meat, comes the substance that you need to kill cancer. Bloodroot kills cancer. But it's also a poison, and if you take too much of it, it'll kill you. So you got to take it in extreme moderation. And, you know, you've got to know how much you're taking. Now, you know, the poppy produces this thing called heroin. We like to call it morphine in the hospital. And, you know, if you take too much of this morphine over here, it'll kill you. Dead. D-E-D, dead on arrival. So, you know, it's pretty obvious, you know, like John Belushi, you know, he thought that heroin was pretty good stuff, and he took a little bit too much of it. And then it killed him. So, you know, just because glutamate is a natural substance and your brain needs it doesn't mean that you need too much of it. Now, normally, when you're eating food, you're going to get enough glutamate, you're going to get enough heroin, you're going to get enough arsenic or strychnine or whatever, and you won't overdose on it. For instance, you know, the Food and Drug Administration makes a big thing out of apricot and peach pits. It's called vitamin B17. And they've banned it, you know, but listen, you know, if you eat a peach and then you take the pit and you break it open with a hammer, inside is a little kernel. And if you eat that little kernel inside that peach or apricot pit, you will not get cancer. And people who do that, up in the Himalaya Mountains, there's a group of people up there. I think they're called Hunzas. And they, you know, they're primitive people, you know, savages, you know, we'd call them here in the West. But they live a long time. You know, it's very common for many of them to live to be 100 years old, and they eat a lot of apricots. And when they eat apricots, they don't just, like we do here in the West, eat the sweet stuff on the outside. They break the pit open, they eat that seed. Cancer is virtually unknown there. So, you know, researchers take a look at that and they say, gee, I wonder if that would work in the West. They came out here to the West, you know, and they started opening up these peach pits. And they called it vitamin B17. They had another common name. I forget what it is now. And they start giving that to cancer patients over here, curing cancer. Well, we can't cure cancer in the West. It's a vital part of our economies here. Now, I'm sorry to report this to you, but, you know, cancer in the United States is a $500 billion a year industry. $500 billion a year, cancer. And you cannot have a cheap, inexpensive cure to cancer. We're not going to tolerate that. I mean, you're threatening to put oncologists, you know, out of business. You're threatening to close down cancer clinics and cancer research and a $500 billion a year industry, and we ain't going to sit still for it. That's the bottom line. So if you get cancer, you know, they call it Laetril. It's a common name, B17, peach pits. I mean, hell, you can go into any Kroger store, buy yourself a few peaches, And you take them home, you cut them in half, and throw the peach away, and take a hammer, break it open, and inside there's a kernel. That is the bitterest, nastiest stuff God ever put on planet Earth. I'm telling you, if you can eat one of those and keep a straight face, I mean, you got to be one tough cookie. So, you know, somebody woke up and said, well, it tastes real bad. Let's synthesize it down and let's make a product called Laetrile and sell it to people in a capsule form so they can take it without this nasty taste. And so they did that and they started putting them in jail. The FDA banned it. If there's something that's good for you, the FDA will ban it. And if there's something good, bad for you, they will approve it. So MSG, they approve. Laetrile, they disapprove. And that's the way life is. I don't make these laws. I don't make these rules. I'm a reporter. I'm just reporting. That's the way it is. So if you've got cancer, you're supposed to die from cancer. Now, we don't really want you to die. We want you to go to the approved cancer clinic and spend $100,000 on average to cure the cancer through the approved modalities of cut, burn, and poison. If you die, then you're dying for a good cause. It's the American economy. And if you live, it's another success story for the cancer industry. Now, that's the approved modality. Now, God help you if you run around here eating apricot and peach pits. If we catch you doing that now, we're going to throw your hind end in jail. And if you're a doctor, you know, we'll take your license away from you on top of it. Now, you may be sitting out there saying, oh, my God, this can't be going on in America. Well, hell, it's been going on here for 100 years or more. Where in the hell have you been? Wake up and smell the coffee, partner. Now, Dr. Blaylock comes along and says, now, let me give you another little warning over here. There's a thing called MSG. And now, in the last program, I cited the names of all of this MSG additives over here. They hide the MSG in very innocuous sounding food products, like flavoring. You know, you look on the package and it says, this product contains flavoring. In fact, it may even say natural flavoring. Oh my God, that's got to be good for you. It's natural flavoring. You know, it's like a peach pit is natural, isn't it? Okay. And so they stick the MSG into this natural flavoring, then they put this natural flavoring into the product. Now, they don't label it MSG because you're supposed to know that natural flavoring contains MSG. Now, you don't, and I didn't. And I still don't. But here on page 255, Dr. Blaylock reveals the secret. And that's why you need the book, so that you can. And I made a photocopy of this, and I gave it to my wife. She carries it in her purse, and then she goes to the store. She, you know, she's pretty good. My wife's a pretty smart lady. She counts real good. She went to school. Which is saying something, you know, for a hillbilly in the Ozark. And she counts real good. And she can read real good. And my wife is so good, she can count with both hands in her pockets and her shoes on. And she can still count. And she reads pretty good, too, but she can't remember everything. And so I made her a photocopy of this. She carries it in her purse, and then she reads the labels on the product. You know, she goes into Tim and Jim's or Kroger's or Food Saver someplace, and then she picks up a package of a Nabisco wheat thins or something, and she reads the label. And then she sees something on there that says natural beef or chicken flavoring, and natural flavoring or seasoning or stock or broth or bouillon or malt flavoring. My God, if there's something I really love, it's Ovaltine. Ovaltine is made with malt flavoring full of MSG. No wonder Ovaltine tastes so good. It's got MSG in it. Now, you're going to be eating a little MSG from time to time, whether you like it or not. You know, you go to the restaurant, and they're not watching the labels, you know, in the local restaurant. You know, you go into Skeeter's, and he don't care anything about the labels. And then you order something, so you're going to be eating some MSG. What you want to do is you want to get the MSG level to the lowest possible level. You know, you want to watch that stuff, kind of like arsenic, you know. There's a little natural arsenic out there in the world, and you're probably going to ingest a little of it. But, you know, don't you avoid it? I mean, if somebody said, you know, here's a package of Oreo cookies, and it contains arsenic. Here's another package of cookies over here. Sandwich cookies, and they're also chocolate, and they're real sweet, and they're real good, and they don't contain any arsenic. You know, if you were like me, you'd put down the Oreos, and you'd pick up the package without the arsenic. That's all we're suggesting here. On page 255, there's about 20 of these. Let me count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Okay, there's 26 products that are in your foods that are used to hide MSG. 26 products. And he has them listed here on page 255. And if you'd like to get a copy of that list over there, why don't you pick up a copy of the book? The book is worth the price. Let's say it was $50 for the book. The book is worth the price just for the information on page 255. Well, at least it is to me. I would pay you $50 for that list of substances that contain or products that contain poison so that I can avoid them. It's in my best interest. Yeah, I'd pay $50 to get a list of poisons that are in my food that I could avoid. And I don't think the book is going to cost you $50. And that's just kind of my observation. All right, now several of these excitotoxins are man-made and are used as research tools. Remember that? Actually, this mixture is made from junk vegetables that are unfit for sale. They're especially selected so as to have naturally high contents of glutamate. The extraction process of hydrolysis involves boiling these vegetables in a vat of acid. This is followed by a process of neutralization with caustic soda. The resulting product is a brown sludge that collects on the top. This is scraped off and dried. The end product is a brown powder that is high in three known excitotoxins, glutamate, aspartate, and cystoic acid, which converts in the body to cysteine. It is then added by the food industry to everything from canned tuna to baby food. So what is it that these excitotoxins actually do that is so important to the food manufacturers? Well, all of these chemicals stimulate the taste cells in the tongue, thereby greatly enhancing the taste of whatever food to which it is added. It is what gives soups the scrumptious taste that we all love so much. Today, they're used extensively in sauces, soups, gravy mixes, and especially frozen diet foods. They're used extensively in low-fat foods, which are often tasteless. To help sell them to the public, food manufacturers added excitotoxin taste enhancers to these foods to improve the taste. Another excitotoxin additive that is familiar to all of us is the artificial sweetener called NutraSweet. Actually, 40% of the NutraSweet compound is composed of excitotoxin aspartate. Aspartate, like glutamate, is a powerful brain toxin which can produce similar neuron damage. NutraSweet is used in many diet foods and beverages. It is well recognized that liquid forms of excitotoxins are much more toxic to the brain than the dry forms, as they are absorbed faster and produce higher blood levels than when mixed with solid foods. But the negative effects of these excitotoxins are not limited to small children. There's growing evidence that excitotoxins play a major role in a whole group of degenerative brain diseases in adults, especially in the elderly. These diseases include Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, Huntington's disease. Now here's the good one here. It's called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, known as Lou Gehrig's disease. I guess it's amyotrophic, A-M-Y-O, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, as well as several more rare disorders of the nervous system. Now, what all of these diseases have in common is a slow destruction of brain cells that are specifically sensitive to excitotoxin damage. Neurons that use glutamate for a transmitter are destroyed by these high concentrations of glutamate, while other neurons that use other transmitters are spared. All right, let's pause here for a moment. I'll put a bracket right here, my famous arrow in margin. Let's go back 100 years. You know, it's 1907. How many people are dying from Lou Gehrig's disease? How many people are dying from Parkinson's disease? How many people are developing Alzheimer's disease? See, it's extremely rare. Now, it is possible, I suppose. I mean, you know, you could go out here and eat so much seaweed that you could get so much excitotoxin out of the seaweed that maybe you could give yourself Parkinson's disease. I guess that's a possibility. But it's rare. It's not going to happen very often. Now, along comes this Japanese scientist, and he says, well, let's find out what the exciting taste is in the seaweed, and he comes up with glutamate. He says, well, that's a natural product. How can we synthesize this glutamate in the laboratory? And so they come along and say, well, if we take these vegetables and we boil them in acid, and we'll get this nasty scum on the top, and then we'll run that through some caustic soda, take this brown sludge over here, dry it out, and we'll stick it in the food, and God, it tastes real good. All right, now that's the process that they use. They used to use rotten plant matter, and they stick it in a vat of acid, boil it up good, and get a sludge, neutralize it, and then put it in your food. Now, that probably would be harmless. The fact that it's rotten vegetables is not the end of the world. You know, I mean, we've probably eaten poorer stuff than that or worse stuff than that, and this isn't going to kill you. There's no bacteria in it. But these chemicals now that have been released, and then, you know, like this is a witch's brew. This is like a witch out in her front yard with a cauldron over a fire, and she's brewing up these drugs. That's why we call it a witch's brew. Only, you know, today we don't have some snaggle-toothed old heifer out here in our front yard making up a little batch of some kind of witch's brew. We have multinational corporations making it by the thousands of tons to put in your food so that your McDonald's fries taste real good. And I don't deny that they taste real good. But boys and girls, not everything that tastes real good is good for you. And again, you know, it's a choice that you've got to make. And most people, you know, when they're faced with these kinds of choices, they make the wrong choice. And then from the choices that you make, there are consequences. So, you know, the consequences may be that you develop Alzheimer's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, or Parkinson's disease, or maybe your kid has ADD in school, or his brain doesn't function very well, and he's kind of a dummy, and so he ends up as a forklift driver instead of a nuclear scientist. You know, those are the kinds of decisions that we as adults make for our children. And, you know, you might make a better decision for your child if you took him off of these excitotoxins. Maybe you should rethink this. Now, I'm not here as an evangelist here, you know, to encourage you to give your heart to Jesus today, or to write a letter to your Senator Kit Bond to get these excitotoxin glutenates out of the food supply. It isn't going to help you any. You could write 50 letters to Kit Bond. He gets paid by the food corporations lots of money to pass laws or to vote for laws that allow them to deceive you into buying products that are mislabeled, that do not have the label MSG on it. See, a lot of you people are alerted to MSG. You know that stuff's bad for you. What you're not alerted to is hydrolyzed protein or a caseinate or something like that, or natural flavoring. So you might not have known about those. There's 26 of them. You don't need to write a letter to the FDA. They already know this. There isn't anything in this book that everybody at the FDA hasn't already seen. They don't already know. I mean, you might as well walk up to the captain of the Titanic and tell him, hey, Captain, there's icebergs out there in the ocean. Well, hell, he knows where they're at. He's got a wireless on board the ship. He's got 5 messages in his pocket. The night the Titanic hit the iceberg, he had 5 messages in his coat pocket warning him of the ice pack ahead. Now, the passengers didn't know that. It might have scared the hell out of you, if you were a passenger, knowing that the captain of the Titanic is sailing the ship at 23 knots dead ahead, setting a new transatlantic record, steaming directly into 5,000 square miles of iceberg, figuring that we'll probably miss them all. I don't know. It would have scared the hell out of me. Now that I've read the book, 1912, probably wouldn't have noticed, but I read the book and I saw the movie. So if I was ever riding on a ship and I thought that sucker's getting too close to the ice, I'd start putting on my life jacket. Same thing is here. I read this book. I avoid MSG like I avoid whores down at the whorehouse, but, they're prowling around all over. They're not just in the whorehouse. You might find one down here at O'Leary's bar, too, sitting on a bar stool. In the Bible, they're called strange women. They try to get real familiar with you, though. I've noticed that. Hey, listen, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. That can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967 and order. That number again is area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite and promote here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We're reviewing the book Excitotoxins by Russell Blaylock. He's a neurosurgeon, a research scientist, a neurosurgeon. He's a medical doctor, MD. And he is reporting on excitotoxins, a common substance in our food called MSG. MSG called monosodium glutamate. You can buy this MSG in the spice section of your supermarket. It's marked plain. This is MSG. Get a bottle today and sprinkle it in your soups and sauces. You're going to love it. Tastes great. Kills slowly. But the way it kills you is a god-awful hard way to die. I mean, if you got to die, I think you could come up with a better solution than Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or ALS. Honest to God, there's got to be a better way to die than from neurotoxicity. Now, while there's little evidence that foodborne excitotoxins are the cause of these disorders, there's growing evidence that they can aggravate these conditions, if not cause them, and that they may even precipitate them in sensitive individuals. Certainly, the scientific evidence is far too strong to ignore the possibility that excitotoxic food additives may cause such conditions to appear sooner and to a more serious degree. More and more diseases of the nervous system are being linked to excitotoxin buildup in the brain. For example, disorders such as strokes, brain injury, hypoglycemic brain damage, seizures, migraine headaches, hypoxic brain damage, and even AIDS dementia have been linked to excitotoxin damage. And there's also evidence that some individuals born with metabolic defects in certain brain cells may be particularly susceptible to excitotoxin damage. So in this book, I have tried to compile some of the vital research linking excitotoxins to injury and diseases of the nervous system. This area of research is growing by leaps and bounds, and I feel that this new information linking excitotoxins with disease must reach the general public so that each of you can make up your own mind on this issue. Unfortunately, most of this critical information is buried in technical and scientific journals far from the public's eye. So Dr. Blaylock has written a book. It's called Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, and It's in pretty much layman's language. I mean, there's a couple of five-syllable words in here that I stumbled over, but, you know, I'd say that the average guy, I mean, if you've been to high school, I think you can read this book, and I think you can grasp it pretty well. You know, if you're just the average Jane housewife or Joe Sixpack, I think you can understand it. I did, and I'm just a crummy plumber. So I figured, you know, if a plumber can read it, probably a truck driver, housewife can probably do the same thing. It's called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. Now, if you can't find this, it's 10 years old, published in 1997. You should be able to walk into your local used bookstore and tell them, I want the book called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, written by Russell Blaylock, MD. And they'll punch that into their computer, and they'll find a copy of it someplace here in America. Hell, they'll find it someplace in the world. I got a book one time out of Cape Town, South Africa. It was an odd book on genealogy. And written in English, you know, published in Great Britain. And I'd seen a copy of it, and I said, I want it. It was published back in 1932, and I found one in Cape Town, South Africa. It cost me an arm and a leg, but, you know, I figured it was worth the money. I got one time out of San Diego, California. And so here's the way the system works. You just go to a used bookstore, they'll plug it into their computer, and they're tied in with 500,000 bookstores around the world. 500,000 bookstores. Can you believe that? 500,000 bookstores around the world have their inventory up online. So they plug it in, they'll find 50 bookstores that have this book. And then they'll give you the price of it. And then you just order it right then and there, you know. It's just a paperback. I doubt if you went to a used bookstore, it costs you more than $10. If you buy it brand new, I don't know, maybe it costs you $20, but it's well worth the $20. You can trust me on that. And you can get a copy at Brave New Bookstore. If you can't get it locally, if you can't find one of these underground books, if you can't find something banned by the Department of Agriculture, you know, as politically incorrect or by the FDA, you can find it at Brave New Bookstore. And if you've got a book title that's against the law, politically incorrect, that you're not supposed to read, that should be banned and burned, you tell them down there at the Brave New Bookstore, and I'll bet you they'll go find it for you. Tell you what I'm looking for is a copy of The Song of the South. Do you remember that movie, you old people? Walt Disney put out a movie on Brer Rabbit called The Song of the South. It's been banned. It's banned. It's politically incorrect. If you can get me a copy of that, call me, would you? Called Song of the South, Uncle Remus and Tales of Brer Rabbit. I've got the book. I imagine, you know, but Tales of Brer Rabbit must be banned by now. I mean, you can have sodomites in your public school, but you can't have Uncle Remus. I just thought I'd throw that one in there. All right, Russell Blaylock, MD, Excitotoxins, the name of the book, and told you how you can probably get a copy of it. It starts off with a crash course on how the brain works. I'm going to skip how the brain works. I mean, you know, you can buy a copy, read the book yourself. I recommend it. I'm going to skip over here to chapter 3, which talks about exciting cells to death. Now, there's only 5 or 6 chapters in the book, and they're all long. I mean, this book is 300 pages in. Yeah, about 300 pages. And it's divided up, though, into little subparts throughout the chapter. You know, a page or two. You can read a page or two or three. And if you got a short attention span like I do, I think these excitotoxins got into my diet early in life along with my institutionalization. And I'm kind of challenged, they'd say today, you know, challenged. I don't read too fast and I don't read too good, you know, so I got to really work hard and study hard. Well, I got this chapter 3 over here, and in chapter 3, they got a little section in here called Exciting Cells to Death. It's only a page. Let me read it to you. In 1908, here's a good one, Kikuni Ikeda, he's a Japanese fellow. I'm going to call him Kikuni Ikeda. He's a chemist working in a laboratory at the Imperial University of Tokyo. He made a most remarkable discovery that would eventually lead to a multi-billion dollar industry. He was trying to isolate the chemical that was responsible for the taste-enhancing properties of the seaweed known as kombu or sea tangle. The Japanese had used the seaweed-based flavor enhancer in their recipes for thousands of years. It had the uncanny ability to greatly enhance the flavor of almost any food to which it was added. Fortunately, Dr. Ikeda had received training in Germany under the tutelage of a famous chemist, Dr. Wolf, who had perfected the technique for isolating glutamate from proteins. To his surprise, Dr. Ikeda found that the mysterious flavor-enhancing ingredient of the seaweed was glutamate. In 1909, Professor Ikeda joined with his friend, Dr. another Japanese fellow, in forming a company which would manufacture this incredible taste enhancer in the form of monosodium glutamate. They named their company Ajinomoto, which translates to the essence of taste in English. By 1933, Japanese cooks were using over 10 million pounds of this taste enhancer every year. They found that it made even the most bland recipes taste scrumptious. During the war, the Japanese government added MSG to their soldiers' rations. Now, unlike American rations, theirs tasted delicious. American soldiers, having obtained some of the rations from their Japanese prisoners, they obtained, you know, some of these rations and returned with stories of this delicious-tasting military food. This then led to an investigation by the American military. So in 1948, a meeting was held by the quartermasters of the armed forces in conjunction with most of the major food manufacturing giants in America. And the list of names of those attending this meeting reads like a who's who of American food manufacturing and included such names as Pillsbury, Oscar Mayer, Libby, Stokely, Campbell, Continental, General Foods, Borden's, and so on. Now, during these discussions, it was concluded that this Japanese taste enhancer did indeed have some remarkable properties. It suppressed undesirable flavors. It gave zest to food. It removed the tinny taste of canned foods and turned bland foods into gourmet meals. In short, it held the possibility of a financial boom for the food industry. Following this remarkable discovery, the American food industry drastically increased the amount of MSG being added to prepared foods, which has since doubled every decade since the late 1940s. Today, MSG is added to most soups, chips, fast foods, frozen foods, ready-made dinners, and canned goods. It's been a haven and a heaven-sent product for the diet food industry, since so many of the low-fat foods are practically tasteless. I might pause right here and say, well, look, you know, since 1948, when they started putting this stuff in, and then, you know, 58, 68, 78, 88, for 40 years, you know, we ate the stuff and we never knew there was a problem. Until in 1988, this Dr. Olney came out with his book and said, hey, listen, boys and girls, you got a problem here with this MSG. Now, Dr. Blaylock comes out 10 years later and he says, not only do you have a problem with this MSG, it's a god-awful, deadly, toxic substance over here that's causing some real bad neurological diseases. You know, science is good, and over time, you know, they figure out. First of all, they come to us and say, this stuff's harmless and it's real good for you. Take a lot of it. Then after we do that and we're all dying like flies over here, they come back and say, oh, well, that wasn't quite right. So here's what we got to do. And they don't ban it. Then they come along and they do something a little different, you know. I mean, they're going to keep poisoning us. Maybe what you could do, though, is to cut down on the poison. Man, that'd be a big help. Cut down on it. Because a little later on here in the book, he's going to tell us how much. I told you in the last program it was around 120 to 130 grams that Americans are taking in. Then I kind of forgot, is it a day or is it a year? I think it's probably a year. But you know, I could be wrong about that. But what's going on here is that glutamate is a natural amino acid, and it's a food. It's just that when you get it out of seaweed, you can't overdose on it. It's like going into a sugar cane field and eating sugar off the stalk. It's like getting into a beehive and eating honey. You know, the honey, if you want to test this, you just start eating honey, and after a while, you'll eat enough until you vomit. You can't overdose on honey. It ain't possible. You'll puke. But you can overdose on CNH pure cane sugar. I mean, that stuff, you know, you can just eat it and 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 eat it, and you'll never puke, and you'll taste real good, and it feels real good, and you'll love it. And that's the problem that you get with these excitotoxins. I mean, you know, it's a natural food. You can't overdose on it in its natural form. Go out in the ocean, get the seaweed, bring it in, grind it up, put it in your food. You'll never overdose on it. I mean, hell, you can go out here and eat heroin poppies. I'll bet you couldn't overdose on heroin poppies. Indians in the Amazon basin ate those coca leaves all day long. You can overdose on cocaine. You can overdose on heroin. When you synthesize this stuff down and you stick it in your food, I mean, if a little bit's good, a whole lot's got to be much better. That's the American way. That's why we're 25 or 27% of us now fat. Now, I wouldn't doubt but what MSG probably plays a role in this obesity thing over here in the States. I don't know that positively, but I wouldn't doubt it if I heard it. So as Dr. George Schwartz has pointed out in his remarkable book, In Bad Taste, the MSG syndrome. Often MSG and related toxins are added to foods in disguised forms. For example, among the food manufacturer's favorite disguises, I'm going to underline that. Food manufacturers know that MSG is known by its name, MSG, or monosodium glutamate, by millions of consumers. So for a lot of you people, I'm probably not telling you anything new. You're probably sitting there saying, oh, hell, I already know it. Okay, but here's what you probably didn't know. Listen to this. They disguise monosodium glutamate by calling it hydrolyzed vegetable protein. They call it vegetable protein. They call it natural flavorings. They call it spices. Now, each of these products contain from 12 to 40% MSG. So go to Appendix 1 for more information about hidden sources of MSG. All right, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to skip ahead here to page 255, which gives us the hidden sources of MSG. As discussed previously, the glutamate manufacturers and the processed food industries are always on a quest to disguise MSG added to your food. Below is a partial list of the most common names for disguised MSG. Remember also that the powerful excitotoxins, aspartate and L-cysteine, are frequently added to foods and, according to FDA rules, require no labeling at all. Did you get that? Now, that's a big goal of the food manufacturers, is to put monosodium glutamate, or what do they call these, MGOs? Is it MGO? It's the GMOs, I'm sorry, it's GMOs, genetically modified organisms, into your food without putting it in the label. First of all, if the food manufacturers had their druthers, they wouldn't put a label on the damn thing anyway. And they sure as hell wouldn't tell you what's contained in the can, unless you force them to. And they have fought tooth and nail this GMO labeling. Because they know as well as you and I do that if you knew that there was GMOs in the food, you wouldn't buy it. So I've done a program or two on these GMOs, and so I pointed out that 80% of the soybean crop, 80%, and 60% plus of the corn crop, and an equal amount or more of the canola, and so, put canola down there, are GMOs. And so I don't buy any soybean, corn, or canola products, period. None, zero, zilch. Unless the label plainly says no GMOs or it's organic. Now, just because it says natural doesn't mean it doesn't contain GMOs. Now listen to this buzzword list here. Here's the list of buzzwords. Additives that always contain MSG. Here are the additives. If you see this additive, it always has MSG. Monosodium glutamate, MSG. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein. Hydrolyzed protein. Hydrolyzed plant protein. Plant protein extract. Sodium caseinate. Calcium caseinate. Yeast extract, textured protein, autolyzed yeast, hydrolyzed oat flour. So those always contain MSG. All right, now listen to this. Here are some additives that frequently contain MSG. They don't always have MSG in them, but frequently they do. Malt extract, Ovaltine. Malt flavoring, bouillon, broth, stock, flavoring, natural flavoring, natural beef or chicken flavoring, seasoning, and spices. Okay, then there are additives that may contain MSG or other excitotoxins. So when you see carrageenan, enzymes, soy protein concentrate, soy protein isolate, whey protein concentrate, it may or may not contain MSG. So there's 26 here in the list. It's on page 255. The book is called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills by Russell Blaylock. If there was nothing else that you wanted, just page 255, it's worth the $20 that it's going to cost you. Or thereabouts. So you might get the book for 10, I don't know, in a used bookstore. But it's a dynamite story. And I haven't got to the end of the story yet. I'm going to tell you a little bit more here about it as we go through various chapters and explain to you the value of the book and why it is. And I don't get paid for this. I mean, nobody at Brave New Bookstore is going to send me a check for promoting the book. And I don't care whether you buy it from them or you buy it from somebody else. And Mr. Blaylock, he's not paying me any kickback for promoting his book. That's what we do here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We editorially review publications and pull out of them information that you cannot get or often do not get or which is suppressed in the mainstream press. That's our little niche in life here. That's the one little thing that we do, and we do very well, is that we search out and we find these things that Katie Couric and Brian Williams will not tell you. And that's because, you know, they get paid by the advertising revenue. And manufacturers, you know, that are selling their products, you know, over the television or on the radio, they sure as hell don't want you telling them stories like this. And so you got to get it from the underground press, you know, some guy that doesn't get paid by the food industry. And if I was getting paid by Archer Daniels Midland, I wouldn't be telling you this story. You know, in Archer Daniels Midland, there's some food manufacturer or, you know, or some special interest is paying the freight. You know, we're all smart enough to sit back and sit down, shut up and fold our hands and take the money. That's the way that game is played. Now, once in a while, you'll find some kook like me or this Russell Blaylock comes out here, blows the whistle. We don't go anywhere. Hell, if I was working for some big corporation, I'd get canned. If I was a government employee, they'd banish me to some office in the interior of the Pentagon, and I'd never be seen again. I'd be like the guy that got on the MTA and didn't have enough money and couldn't get off. Whistleblowers don't go anywhere in life. They get buried. And I'm in the wrong business. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein is a special case and deserves a closer look. So if you're going to recall, the manufacturing processes described in the introduction is a series of chemical processes. First, boiling vegetables in sulfuric acid for several hours, then neutralizing the acid with a caustic soda, an alkalizing agent often used to make soap, and then drying the resulting brown sludge. Additional MSG may be added as well to the fine brown powder. The result is marketed as hydrolyzed vegetable protein. When particular amino acids are combined with the basic hydrolyzed vegetable protein, they can bring out a beefy taste that makes it useful in barbecue sauces and fast foods. Other protein combinations bring out a creamy taste that is frequently used in canned and instant soups, salad dressings, and sauces. So if you wanted to know why it is that you just love the taste of that barbecue sauce, or that soup, or that salad dressing, it's because it's got this MSG in it. Got it. Just, you tell me something better than barbecue sauce, huh? Come on. And now, you know, that's a choice that you got to make in life, and if that's your choice, well, get after it. You know, but when you come down with Alzheimer's disease, you know, you want to remember where you heard this first. Yeah, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and we are open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So till then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.